At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to episode 74 of the Jaguar Report podcast. My name is Gus Logue, joined as always by my co-host John Shipley. John, how's your week been?
It's been a week. It's been pretty good. Yeah, it's thrown off a little bit by Monday Night Football, but it's been solid. That was a good game last night.
Oh yeah, that's true. Holy cow. Yeah. I mean,
Dakota Prescott with a big game. Michael McCarthy forgot how to count. We had everything.
Michael Parsons is all over the place. I've got a hot take about him later. It was definitely
okay. Okay. See, you say that, and I want to be happy, and I want to look forward to it. But if you're going to say something like Michael Parsons is going to have 1.5 sack next week, then just know right now I'm gonna hit you later.
I think you're going to love me later. I'll say that, but we'll save the hot takes for later.
You got some room to make up on that one.
I know I do. But I've been in the lab this week. I've cooked up a bunch of good ones. I think you're going to be happy. I think I'll be out of timeout after this one. Maybe not out of timeout with the last one. But, yeah, I had a good week, too. It was a nice little break, like, after the Thanksgiving holiday. And then with the game not being until Monday, this week has felt a little bit slower and a little nicer. So, looking forward to 2 days off, a day of not watching the Gators, and then a day of watching.
The Gators don't play Saturday?
Does UCF play Saturday either?
They played a couple weeks.
That's fair, but
here's my hot take.
I mean, you don't have to heighten it. I'm just saying I'm glad I don't have to watch the Gators. Just let
here's
me
my hot take
that and get out of here.
Only one ETN brother will play for a Florida football team next year, and it ain't yours.
Yeah, that's not even a hot take. I took a screenshot of like the notification that Jake or Graham Mertz was coming back next year and sent it to my buddy and said, "Oh brother." I don't know who else they have that would be like a better option, honestly, but oh brother.
Yes. Oh, just suspend the program.
It's a lighthearted sports podcast. Come on.
Yeah, man. But back to a good team with a winning history. You know, not a winning history.
Yeah, I was just let it slide, but
a winning history in the last 18 months.
There you go.
I count. Okay. Big Monday Night Football game this weekend against the Bengals. This game looked a lot more exciting like a month ago before, you know, Joe Burrow got hurt. What's his actual injury? I know it's a wrist injury because Mike Florio won't shut the hell up about it. But what is the actual? And not that it matters. It was pretty funny. They listed Jake Browning on the injury report, the wrist injury yesterday, and Florio was like, either he has an actual injury or they're being cute with this and trying to joke about it. And it's like, Mike, they're talking about you. So obviously this game looks a lot different with Jake Browning under center. My only recollection of Jake Browning and quarterback like in football at all is like him and John Ross in God, what year was that? Like 2017, 2018, whatever year it was that John Ross went dummy and ended up becoming like a top 10 pick.
I
remember him being the John Ross merchant at Washington that year. He was like every Washington Huskies quarterback ever. So that's my only recollection of him. Gus, you know, offense has been clicking the last 2 weeks. We'll start right with them. I think this is I'll probably look stupid for this because it seems like most of my predictions kind of go that way. I think they have a chance for a 40 burger this week.
I think they have a good chance for a 40 burger.
That's bold to predict for an NFL game, but they're rolling right now. And then, like, you look at, like, these Bengals defensive numbers, and no disrespect to Big Lou, you know. Love Big Lou.
Love Big Lou.
He's the biggest Lou of all the big Lou's. However, on defense right now, they're currently 26th in EPA per play, 30th in success rate, 23rd in EPA per play against the pass, 27th in EPA per play against the rush, the 26th in early down EPA. They're 32nd in explosive play rate, 32nd explosive pass rate allowed, and 32nd explosive rush rate allowed. Like, this defense is quietly like maybe the worst in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I think over the past month it maybe has, because the Broncos defense obviously started out pretty slow with the new defensive coordinator in Miami putting up 70 early in the season. But in the past month, like even against like not super impressive offenses, they keep getting toasted. Like Kenny Pickett and the Steelers in their first week without Matt Canada. Like, I mean, they only scored 16 points, which is like pretty hilarious, but they had easily their best like offensive day from a yardage production standpoint. So I've also got down here that the Bengals defense ranks dead last in yards per play allowed and explosive plays allowed per game. So yeah, like any way you look at it, it's not great. I think the like back end has been like the biggest issue for the Bengals, is because they had two safeties leave in the offseason, Von Bell and Jesse Bates. So they've got new guys playing those positions. They have a second year guy, Dax Hill, playing one safety position, and then some like veteran from the Rams. I think Nick Scott maybe playing the other one. And then like all three of their cornerbacks have been pretty up and down. None of them have been that consistent. I mean, Hilton has always been like a fun guy out of the slot, and he's used really well against the blitz. But in terms of coverage, Cincinnati's defense just isn't really holding up. So definitely seems like it's going to be a potential 40 burger on deck with how explosive Jacksonville's offense has looked the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, so like the biggest thing I feel like with the Jaguars offense, like turning it up the last 2 weeks, is one, the offensive line's obviously blocked better. Part of that has been they're not blocking like two of the best edge rushers in the NFL in one game like they were against the 49ers. Part of it, I also think, is Trevor Lawrence. You know, he said to Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Let's roll with that. Yeah. He said on the Rich show that he said on the Fireside Address that his knee has felt 100% comfortable like since the Tennessee game, and that's really when it like started. And you can kind of tell like when he plays, you know, like he's moving around better, he's reacting to pressure better. Like we talked about it, like whenever he got interior pressure against the 49ers, he was like a deer in the headlights. Like it just looked like he could not avoid it, you know, like it looked clunky. But last couple weeks he's looked much better in that regard. And I think it's probably like a chicken and the egg type thing. Like he looks healthier, the offensive line looks better. He's moving around better. They go hand in hand.
Right.
But I think when you combine that with, like you said, a Bengals secondary that is a far cry from the days of Eli Apple and
touche, John. You got
it. I agree with you. Their secondary when they went to the Super Bowl was really good.
Yeah.
You know, they legitimately had a very good defense, and I agree with you. I think this year the big part of it is so many young guys, you know, Dax Hill, DJ Turner, who the Jaguars should have picked in the second round, you know, just all those guys. I got asked a mailbag question. It was like, you've been tough on the Jaguars' day two picks. Who would you have picked since they were unable to trade up? And I'm like, they traded down the pick change, man.
Seriously, they could have picked there. Yeah, like – at least he didn't pick Luke Schoenmaker, because, I mean, all I know is that
basically the same exact production.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's kind of traded down for their tight end when Dallas traded up for theirs. What would you say?
While we're on the offense, let's just go ahead and do this. Your thoughts on Zach Ertz and Doug Peterson potential reunion. What would you think about that? It would take away Brent Strange as like half a target a game to like zero targets per game. But yeah, It doesn't move you.
It doesn't move me. The reunion would be cool because of Doug. And like there is a quote that someone, I think Johnny sent into a group chat, where Kirk was talking about what made him come to Jacksonville, and he was saying that when he was in Arizona, Ertz was also in Arizona, and Ertz said, you should really, strongly consider playing for Doug Peterson. So, that quote has kind of been brought back into circulation just to show that Ertz is clearly a Doug guy. But I think it's more likely that he ends up going back to Philly because, they have, a hole at tight end because Dallas Goedert is out. I don't know if he's out for the rest of the year for sure, but he's definitely out right now with some kind of injury. But then for the Jaguars, I almost feel like it's the same thing as trading for an edge rusher where it's they're not going to they might not get a really big fish because then what does that say about Trayvon Walker? It's then if they get Zach Ertz, that's cool. But then what does it say about Brenton Strange? So I don't know if they would want to do that reverse PR ploy on themselves. But then also, even without that, where is Ertz going to find snaps? I'm assuming he's, not really much of a run blocker at all. And, it's not like they're, looking for someone to play slot tight end. So, yeah. I don't really know how it's much of a fit besides the Doug connection.
Yeah, and, they already basically just use, two tight ends, all intents and purposes. Strange barely play. He's, barely, a part of what they do. So I'm with you, but the people love to talk about it. So we figured we'd at least, knock it around a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this game specifically, I'm going to assume that it's a Calvin Ridley week. Is that your take?
You know, the take, it's never not a Calvin Ridley week.
Dude, it's starting to get to the point where every time he has a good game, I'm definitely afraid of what I said on the podcast.
So I was riding with him every single week, before the bye when he wasn't going off. So now that the offense is starting to click, I have to keep riding with him because now he's actually going to start paying stuff off for me. So
you don't have to.
Absolutely a Calvin Ridley week.
Okay. I feel like the one spot the Bengals are okay at the secondary is slot corner. Mike Hilton's still really good. He's probably a better, overall slot than, a pure coverage guy.
Yeah.
But it does feel like where they beat the Bengals is on the outside and going deep. So I'm with you. I'd expect big things from Calvin Ridley this week. I think the Jags are going to keep deploying, some of the same stuff they've been doing, play action, moving Lawrence out of the pocket, going for more deep shots. It can't be a coincidence that since Peterson said – basically, we're not throwing it deep enough that they've had their two biggest, vertical, games of the year. So I really think they're going to keep that rolling. Mm-hmm. And also, they've just put Ridley in better situations, more condensed formations. He's playing a little more in the slot. I think you see more of that this week. I think this has potential to be, Ridley's, statement game of the season, considering it's on prime time and everything like that. And for all the hand-wringing and John Shipley, go to hell. You told us Calvin Ridley would be good, takes. He's on pace for 70 catches, 1,100 yards, seven touchdowns this year. He's having a good year.
Dude, and his prop bet before the season was, I think, 700 or 800. So if he goes over 800, then I know that you and I were saying stuff Pro Bowl year potentially, but
I'm right back on that horse. I'm right back on it. I never lost faith.
Dude, with the offense being down in general this year, I feel that makes it a closer race across the board for Pro Bowls, for the MVP race is I feel someone could just have an awesome last month and win an award almost because of it. So
yeah.
I'm right there with you with Ridley too.
All right. Does Ingram get a touchdown this week?
No. All right, you ready for my first hot take?
That's it.
Devin Lloyd will get his first interception, and he'll score his first touchdown of the year before Evan Engram.
Oh, my gosh. That's depressing.
Devin Lloyd's scoring a touchdown before Evan Engram this year.
Jake Brown is going to throw it right to his face mask, and he's going to get stuck in there, and he's going to run to the end zone. Yeah. No hands needed. Look, Ma, no hands.
Yeah. Well, I think he's all cleared now. He doesn't have the club anymore. So, hypothetically, that's definitely one of the big things to watch for is will Devin Lloyd catch the ball that goes his way, because there will be at least one.
Okay. I got a pokeball for you in that case.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Would you rather have a player who's averaging 46.9 yards and 0.29 touchdowns this year, or a player who's averaging 69.2 yards and 0.29 touchdowns this year?
Was the touchdowns both 0.29? They're both 0.2 something. So
sure
I
was.
Guess I'd have more yards.
Yeah. So you agree that Christian Kirk's a better receiver than T. Higgins? You got bulky ball, my friend. Everybody's trying to get the Jags to sign T. Higgins. They already have him in a much smaller, more efficient package.
T. Higgins is going to get.
Come on, T. Higgins or Christian Kirk? T. Higgins or Christian Kirk? T. Higgins or Christian Kirk?
Dude, honestly, I don't know. I think Higgins might be like a better receiver for Lawrence, but
the numbers disagree.
This was like yards per game this season.
Yeah.
I mean, Kirk's had more production. I think you could say Kirk is a better receiver.
Damn it. The bulky ball sucks when you freaking go, like when you agree with it. Now I got to figure out a way to say Tank Bigsby's better than Joe Mixon.
I don't know if that would be hard to find. Try to find like their yards per carry this year, because Mixon's been on washed list for a while now.
Well, he's above Travis Etienne at the moment.
Well, yeah.
I guess that's a good segue to our next point. Can the running game get back on track this week? I know Etienne's limited with a chest injury. By the way, Tank Bigsby 2.4 yards per carry. Joe Mixon 3.9. So let's just go ahead and move on from that one. We got bulky ball on that one. Yikes. Well played, Duke Tobin. Well played.
Yeah.
Etienne, I know, is limited this week. He had the chest injury last week in the second half against Houston. Came back in the game. He'll probably be limited all week in practice this week. I know Mia talked to him in the locker room, and he more or less said he thinks he's going to play since it's a Monday night game. I'd expect like the usage, if he does play, to be kind of similar to the Texans game, where like it's like 60-30 in terms of like snap percentage and like 20-10 in terms of like touches. Maybe a bit more De'Ernest, but does the running game get back on track this week? Because I feel like that's been like the one thing like really keeping the offense from like being a dominant force. Like they're slinging the hell out of the ball. You know, Trevor Lawrence, by the numbers, has been the best quarterback in the NFL since the 49ers like lost. Even like, okay, well, Dak after last night might change that, but I know before last night, Trevor was number one in EPA per play the last 2 weeks and number two in success rate. But it just like makes you wonder how much better would the offense look if they had any semblance of a running game? Because they, like, when's the last time they effectively ran the ball? Not the last 3 weeks. I wouldn't even say against Pittsburgh.
Maybe like 2017.
New Orleans. Yeah. Okay, so since 2002, the Jaguars rushing attack is – hold up, it's loading.
It's 2002?
2022, sorry. It's early. since last year, the Jaguars are 28th in rushing EPA and 27th in success rate. And they have like the Buccaneers behind them, the Texans behind them, the Vikings behind them, the Seahawks and Chargers. So just like notoriously bad like rushing attacks. You know, on the flip side, they have the number 8 passing game the last 2 years by EPA per play, the number 4 passing game by success rate. It's like one of the most one-sided offenses in the NFL, which makes it that more maddening that specifically fantasy people were saying earlier in the year, like Travis Etienne was carrying the offense. Like his touchdowns obviously played a big part, but this is Trevor Lawrence's like offense. Like they are a throwing team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that changes this week? Can the running game get back on track? Because the running game has been good for like maybe 3 games, and that's a Peterson era too.
Yeah, I think I think they'll be able to get back on track, because I think when you like look at the Bengals defense, the biggest thing that stands out is the explosives that they allow in the pass game. But they're not very good in the run game either. And they like, I think they mostly let up like explosives in the pass game, and then like just a lot of high success rates on the run game. And honestly, they let up both in both phases. But for the run game, like they just haven't really been able to like get off the field, or like, especially like late in games, like teams have been able to just kind of like pound it down their throats to like finish out games. And so like, we've been kind of like waiting for the Jaguars to show that they've been able to do that all season. And then like last week, or I think 2 weeks ago against the Titans, is when Lawrence was saying on the sideline, like, oh, Press did a great job of like calling all these passes when they expected runs. But I think this week you'll
turn the camera and wait.
Yeah. I think this week we'll see a little bit more of a balance with the run and the pass, because obviously like going a little pass heavy the last 2 weeks has worked out great, but I think like the Jaguars definitely want to be more balanced in general, and this is going to be a good opportunity for them to get balanced. And I'm excited to see Ezra Cleveland out in space, because he had that awesome block 2 weeks ago, I guess, where he like ran 40 yards down the right sideline. So now that like he and Walker are kind of in their natural positions and they're like going to start, excited to see the Ezra Cleveland effect.
So you know how much I love hate following and seeking out tweets that will just piss me off. Yeah. I bookmarked a nice little Bengals tweet from one of the worst Bengals tweeters, you know, possible.
Is it the worst one?
Huh?
Is it the worst one?
There's like eight that are the worst one, dude. I don't know. It's not the Bengalorian. It's but it was like,
okay.
It was like a reaction to the Cam Robinson. It was like Jaguar stalwart left tackle down. Trey Hendrickson has a chance for a big game against a backup left tackle, and I'm just waiting for Hendrickson to get stonewalled so I can just go ahead and retweet that and send it to the Wolves. I'll be honest, love my platform, being able to, you know, communicate with so many people and the connections I've made. My favorite thing I can do on my platform is retweet things I hate and just watching the piranhas and then the sharks. People are like, you only quote retweet me so your followers can yell at me. Yes, that's exactly why. it works every time. All right, you got anything else on the offense?
Yeah, I got one more stat to throw out. According to Sports Info Solutions, the Bengals defense is top three in the usage of stacked boxes, one high coverage shells, and middle of field closed coverages. So a lot of stacked boxes, a lot of one high, a lot of probably cover one, cover three. But then on third down specifically, since he has the highest usage of one high shells and man coverage in the league, when it's like all downs, the Bengals are like pretty split up between man and zone. But then on third downs, they like getting into man. And so every week is a Calvin Ridley week. But I think this could also be a Christian Kirk week, because even though, like you said, like Hilton is probably their best coverage man,
I don't think he can stick with Kirk.
Yeah, I don't think he can stick with Kirk, because like he's like good like around the line of scrimmage, I feel like. But like the Jaguars like are doing like all these deep crossers all of a sudden out of the slot. And so like I don't know if Mike Hilton or any of the other DBs can really like keep up with Kirk when like the Jaguars are drawing up good plays for him on like third and five situations. So I would look out for Ridley to be like their cover three zone beater on early downs, and then Kirk to be their cover one man beater on late downs.
Oh, I like that. There you go. That's good. That's why we listen, I guess.
All right.
That's why we subscribe. That was a good little nugget. I'm with that. I think that the biggest thing the Jaguars take advantage of in the passing game is like when they realize DBs can't run with them. Like against the Saints, they had a lot of those deep overs from the slots because like Alante Taylor just could not run with Kirk. So I'm with you. It's a novel concept, you know. Like everybody talks about route running from the slot and all the nuances. Like, no, just run fast 50 yards across the field.
I'll say, in Kirk's defense, I think he's like a pretty underrated route runner. Like, obviously, the Jags
are a really good route runner.
Incredibly good job of scheming him up, but like, he definitely holds up his side of the bargain of like getting open. He's got the goods.
I don't think he's their best route runner in a vacuum. I think he's been their best route runner this year, though.
Yeah, I think he was like, I was pretty impressed by him, like watching him on film last year too. There was like, some plays when he was like not getting targeted and would get wide open. I was like, wow, I just wasn't really expecting to see that.
No, I remember I clipped it after on the play he fumbled against the Saints. He just his release.
Oh, yeah,
hit his route, dude. Yeah, it was nasty.
That was definitely his like game of the year. I think was the Saints because his route on that like game winning touchdown was pretty filthy too.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. All right, guys. Gonna hit the defense after this break.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to balky ball Duke Tobin again. Yes or no? Orlando Brown would be the fourth best offensive tackle on the Jaguars roster.
Correct. I was trying to think if he might be the fifth worst.
Who's their fourth tackle?
Yeah, I was trying to be like, Corey Brewer, he's not even a tackle.
I'll say this. He's better than Blake Hance, you know?
All right, fine. I mean, Blake Hance is pretty nice in those six offensive lineman packages.
The worst take I've ever had in my career as a Jaguars reporter, and people, there have been many. I've had some – okay, don't make a face. Don't make a face. I've had some stinkers. I said the Jaguars a few years ago to trade a first for Orlando Brown, and my good Lord, is he worth like a fifth? He's a really, really bad tackle. I think Arjun – I don't want to butcher his last name.
Arjun.
Yeah, okay. The good analytics guy on Twitter like tweeted out like, the tackles are like have the highest responsibility for pressures on their line. And he's top five. He's like allowing 25% of the Bengals pressures, which somebody replied and was like, that could just mean they have a good offensive line and he's just struggling. No. They have a bad line of which he is the worst player on. Like it was fascinating to see Bengals fans like literally like parade in like the streets and celebrate that signing so like vigorously.
Especially after like the Bengals, anytime they face the Chiefs, like Big Lou's game plan was like, we're getting Trey Hendrickson on an island against Orlando Brown because he cannot block Trey Hendrickson. And then like that was like their game plan for like multiple games. And then like the Bengals go out and get Orlando Brown, and then their fans are like rejoicing. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, but I will say, like, in their defense and in our defense, because I also had that take where I thought the Jags should send a draft pick for Orlando Brown when he was like about to leave the Ravens, but it was less about Orlando Brown for me and more about just like the quarterback situation. Because at that point, I don't even know if Trevor Lawrence is on the Jaguars. Maybe it was his rookie year, but it was either his rookie year or like the Jags were about to draft him. And either way, like I was like, it would be pretty nice to have like a franchise left tackle for whoever the next guy is.
I think the take was the Jaguars should trade like their second first round pick for him.
Yeah. So like my whole
thing I'm like looking at my article from
back and like, good God. Like their whole thing is like trying to protect Joe Burrow. And so like obviously it was a bad bet, but if that's your goal, then like I can at least respect it a little bit because of that. But yeah, he's
the entire premise of us taking a like dump on him is I think this is a big Josh Allen week. I think Josh Allen has another 10 pressure, you know, week. And you're starting to hear a little bit in the national media, Cameron Wolf, awesome, like awesome dude, awesome reporter. Yeah. He's, in my opinion, one of the best national reporters there is. Came out with on NFL Network, you know, him making the case for Allen as a potential defense player of the year candidate. I think for Allen to win the award, he has to have big games and primetime games. So, you know, this week and Sunday Night Football against the Ravens, I think he's set up both weeks to do so. You know, Ronnie Stanley's banged up. He's kind of a shell of himself. But especially this week, Orlando Brown, I just don't think can block Josh Allen one-on-one. So, I think it will be like the Saints game where he gets like 10 to 12 pressures and is like right there for a sack like a bunch of times, but they're just getting the ball out of Jake Browning's hands so quickly that it's almost impossible for anybody, you know, to get a sack. Yeah. But that I'm predicting a big Josh Allen game. And, you know, is it a hot take to predict a forced fumble? I feel like they don't happen enough for it to.
I'll allow it. I think it's a hot take.
My hot take, Josh, not even a hot take, my prediction, not a hot take. Josh Allen, okay. 10 pressures, a sack, and a forced fumble, a strip sack.
Okay.
One of the best kind of strip sack where he's like 4 yards behind the quarterback and just slaps the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, I'm just going
to. Did you like that?
That was always great. Yeah, I will say that Drake Browning, even though like they're definitely getting the ball out fast on purpose, he does have like the third highest rate of pressures turning into sacks this year, according to PFF. He's like, I think he's sandwiched right between Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito. So he's like not exactly great at avoiding pressure. Dude, that's been like honestly one of the best storylines of this like football season is like the Northern Jersey man taking over quarterback duties for the Giants. But anyway,
the Jets beat is on their Jaguars 2019, you know, mode where they have nothing to write about but the quirky backup quarterback who probably shouldn't be playing.
There you go. Among 45 quarterbacks with at least 50 dropbacks this season, Browning has 54 in a game and a half. Or three games technically, but he's really just played a game and a half. But he has the third worst PFF passing grade, and he ranks sixth worst in both big time throw rate and turnover worthy play rate, with Gardner Minshew right next to him in both categories. So, yeah, he's basically like Gardner Minshew or Tommy DeVito. It's not great for the Bengals.
These are three quarterbacks who are basically the same guy, more or less. I don't think
I'd ever feel bad for Bengals fans, but I feel a little bit bad for them right now because this kind of stinks for them. Yeah, you're right. Get me out of it. After
the tossing and turning after the Mar Hamlin thing last year, like no, it's not fair to us. Like Bengals fans can get the smoke anytime. Fair. Obviously. Ja'Marr Chase still like a freak. I think he's still scored a touchdown last week. He's still, you know, liable even with a bad quarterback to be able to beat you vertically and make a game changing type of play. Joe Mixon hasn't had a good year. Like I feel like the Jaguars, like this is gonna sound like the stupidest take possible because duh, but when the Jaguars play teams with bad rushing attacks, their defense like against the pass just looks that much better, which, you know, obviously, yeah, that's what would happen. But like their entire plan is already to make teams one dimensional. When they're doing that against teams that can't run the ball to begin with, that just makes like them a dominant unit, and you get so many third and longs. I would imagine it looks a lot like the Titans game where they're just like living in like third and seven all game.
I was thinking the Falcons game, but they were like pretty similar. The Titans game is a better example of that. I'm with you. I think it's gonna you're gonna win a lot on early downs, and it's just gonna be like Jake Browning throwing up prayers on third and eights and third and nines.
I only said Titans game because it happened 2 weeks ago, and I barely remember the Falcons game.
Well, it was like the same thing. It was like even though they were able to like slow down both Derrick Henry and Tyler Algier. Tyler Algier.
You're sick. You're sick in the head, dude.
I said that like earnestly too. I wasn't even trying to make a joke. But they
that would have been a good bit.
The Falcons and the Titans both have. I mean, the Titans aren't what they used to be, but they have like decent running games. And the Jags completely bottom them up. And then Will Levis and Desmond Ridder were just kind of like sitting ducks on late downs. So yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty similar equation.
Same thing with Pittsburgh.
I think this could be a Trayvon Walker breakout game because I agree with everything you said about Josh Allen, and like it's really cool that he's getting some well-deserved Defensive Player of the Year hype. And I mean, he definitely has a good matchup on paper this week against Orlando Brown. But I think Trayvon has been like low key rounding into form the past month or so. And I mean, Jonah Williams is honestly probably better on the right side than Orlando Brown is on the other side. But I think Trayvon is going to like get like make like one big play and have like everyone be watching on national TV and be like, oh, there's the former first overall pick. But you said you predicted Josh Allen to get a strip sack. I had written down before this that Trayvon Walker will have a strip sack and Chase on it will kick it out of bounds on accident. That's my hot take.
You're a jackass.
I was just trying to – okay, so I guess I should have said earlier that the strip sack isn't a hot take because obviously I wrote down strip sack and thought I needed to add something to it to make it spicier.
Do you remember the one forced fumble in Walker's career? Because I do not. He has one. I don't remember it. Ryan. Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so there you go. He knows how to do it. Okay. I'm letting you know right now. If he gets a strip sack and Chaseon doesn't kick it out of bounds, we're clipping this. Putting it on Twitter and pantsing you like you did to me, Mister. I'm not gonna clip his whole response. I'm only gonna clip him saying what the hell. Yeah. No. You are now big media with an M because that was straight fake news. That was straight cap. You fed me to the wolves, and I hope the likes were worth my loss of respect.
For what it's worth, I wasn't trying to like. I just thought it was funny that you said go to hell right after it. But I was just trying to like say that I said Mike Caldwell. Well, actually, no, it was about you because I said that as my hot take that the Jags were going to get national attention. And I thought that was pretty spicy. And then you were like, no, that's absurd. And then it happened.
Okay, I wasn't saying it's absurd that it would happen. I'm saying it's not a hot take to say that Dan Orlovsky will make kissy faces at him on ESPN.
When does Dan Orlovsky ever talk about the Jags? I mean, he broke down the Kirk touchdown against the Saints. That's two times this season that I can think of.
Okay, so a hot take now constitutes as the Jaguars will make it on ESPN.
Pretty much.
Go straight to hell. No, again, go straight to hell.
Okay, no. But this is – I was also saying that, like, I pointed out last week that I thought Mike Caldwell was going to do a bunch of drop eight and a bunch of like give CJ Stroud all the time that he wants and dedicate resources to coverage. So I was right about the specific take too. And then like they like ESPN, like Dan Orlovsky wasn't saying like, oh, the Jaguars look good. Like, cause that would have been like, that's not a hot take. I would like, they specifically got credit for their game plan against CJ Stroud. And I guess what they showed on ESPN was more of like the pass rush and like stunts and stuff rather than like back coverage. But I don't know. Mike Caldwell got national attention. I feel like it was a good take, and then it was a correct take.
I'm clapping for anybody not watching the video.
I think I can still hear.
I don't know if it sounds like a clap or me banging my head against the table.
Should just let him guess.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, okay, that's fair though. If Trayvon Walker gets his trip sack and it's not kicked out of bounds by Chaseon, then you have my permission to clip the video and make me look like a jackass because I accidentally did that to you last week, even though it wasn't my intentions.
It's better if it was your intention. It's funnier that way. But let it be known, I will have my revenge. I hold a beef with Michael Salvino from something from like 4 years ago. I don't think I won't hold one with you. He doesn't even matter to me. You're my friend. I can hold a grudge, buddy.
All right. You ready for picks, hot takes, score predictions? Or you got anything else?
After this break, I am.
Okay.
Gus, I feel like you forget the breaks the same way you forget how to be a friend.
No, I'm like, I'm just going to help you transition. I'm like, let's get to the rest. Let's get to the rest.
Yeah. I'm kidding. You're a good guy. All right.
I do hot like take. Helping organize the show because it's like I start off with like the good morning and welcome to the show, and then you basically just take over from there. But it's a good strategy, I think.
I like how we did a show. For anybody, all the podcasts that do prep work and organization and collaboration and meetings and planning, we just go right off the rip, and I love us for it. I think it works. We were given a few hot takes. I guess I'll give a couple more.
Fine, pull my leg.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good one about Paul Brown off the top of my head. It's Paul Brown, right? Not Mike Brown? Or is it Mike Brown? Who's Mike the Bengals?
I think Mike Brown might be the son, but Paul Brown seems more better.
Well, I don't want the dead one.
Oh, I think Paul Brown's a dead one. I think Paul Brown's like the OG.
There you go. Mike Brown. Okay. My hot take is Mike Brown will not spend a cent at concessions. No, nothing.
At concessions at the Jaguars game on Monday night.
That's right.
What?
He won't buy a foam finger. He won't buy a teal burger.
What?
I'm just trying to think of a way to call him cheap.
Huh?
Do you think he's going to walk by the Miller Electric Center and have, like, shivers go up his spine? Like, ugh, you spent money on your team.
I think David Tepperad would have shivers going up his spine.
Wave his hanky at it.
The facility and then failing. But, yeah, no, I think he might shiver looking at, like, the amount of money that Jacksonville is spending on wide receivers this year. Because they're about to have to make a decision on T. Higgins. And speaking of the Panthers, T. Higgins is going to be in Charlotte next
year. Yeah, okay. I guess that'll be another take of mine, since so many, like, Jags fans, like, love, like, connecting to T. Higgins' thoughts. This will be the only game T. Higgins plays in Jacksonville in the next 3 years.
That's a good one. Nice. That's well constructed, yeah. John. I'm going to make that one.
Don't even know if he'll play.
Yeah, I honestly have no
idea.
That's the beauty of off the riff, baby. All right, T. Higgins will not play in Jacksonville.
So he's limited. Like, he's still limited, but I'm not sure what that means for him going into Monday. And, like, even if he did play, I don't know, man. Jaguars secondary has been playing. I feel like Buster Brown's improved from – his first two starts. You know, he got picked on a little bit against the Saints. Obviously, he made, like, the game-winning pass breakup, but he got picked on by them. He got picked on by the Steelers. Since then, I feel like against the Titans and against the Texans, I know, like, he had, like, some of the worst, like, coverage stats against the Texans, like yards per coverage snap and pass rating allowed, but it was a really good passing attack. I feel like he's honestly held up the last couple weeks. So even if Higgins did play, I'm not sold that he would have, like, that big of an impact. Obviously, that has to go with the quarterback. But there's also a chance that the Jaguars even get Tyson Campbell this week. You know, like Doug Peterson said, he was close last week, and he was limited yesterday instead of a DNP. So that at least gives him a chance. Like I've said before, if you're limited with Doug Peterson, you have a chance to play. If you're DNP, you're not going to play. So the fact that he's limited, I think, is a good sign.
There you go. Yeah, Monteric Brown has definitely, like, held up his end of the bargain and just, like, held up in general out there. Definitely done his job by just kind of not being a liability more than anything else, honestly. But it's been nice to see, because, like, we were talking before the season, like, about how we were super worried about both the quarterback depth and the edge depth. And the worries about the edge depth haven't exactly gone away, but the worries about corner depth have definitely gone away a lot. Like, it would definitely, like, they shouldn't just, like, ignore the position in the offseason now because they, like, have Buster Brown and Gregory Jr. and they're like, yeah, we like these guys. But, like, I don't know. Like, those guys have also, like, been pretty solid in, like, the time that they've been on the field. So I think the corner depth that we've seen out of Jacksonville has definitely been more encouraging than I expected this year.
I'd agree with that. I really like feel like again, like, you know, more about to get into like our player props and stuff. Like, this is a week like you can expect big things for the Jaguars offensive players. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. The Jaguars, you know, like have let backup quarterbacks, maybe not this year, but before, have games against them. Like I consider, this will sound like blasphemy, but Dobbs is like above Jake Browning on the quarterback hierarchy, but he's not that far above him. And he had a nice little game against the Jaguars last year. So there is some precedent. I know that's probably blasphemy because he's on the cover of everything because he beat the Atlanta Falcons, whatever. But nonetheless, that's my stance. So, Gus, you got any
or are we doing picks predictions right now? I have so much stuff. All right, let me just rattle off my picks for you.
Yeah,
I like Joe Mixon under 49.5 rushing yards. I think like doing the opposing players under has been opposing running backs under has been a pretty strong bet for the Jaguars throughout the season since they're, I think last week they had the best defense in the league in terms of success rate against the run. So I would assume it's still up there, if not one.
I think they have the best run defense in terms of success rate, like overall this year.
Really? Let me look at their DVOA real quick. I'm interested to see where they rank.
Yeah. No, they, I'm pretty positive they have like, they're like number 14 in like rushing EPA per play and like number one in like rushing success rate, I think. So, like, it's like legitimately like, especially like early downs is like, and yeah, on early downs, they're number one in rushing success rate too. And let's see, I tweet this out every week so I can easily go back to it. Okay, they're number two in rushing success rate this year.
And they're number five in rush defense DVOA. So I think objectively they're a top five run defense. And then like Mixon, as I was saying earlier, has been like, hasn't looked like the same player that he once was for a while now. So I like, and like, I think Bengals fans are kind of clamoring for Chase Brown a little bit. So Chase Brown might be an interesting over bet if you can find anything on him. But I mostly like Mixon under 49.5 rushing yards. I like Trevor Lawrence over 20.5 completions. He's gone under 20 completions just three times since last year's bye week. And it was the blowout loss at Detroit, the blowout win at Houston late last year, and then the blowout loss to the Niners this year. So they've all been like massive blowouts. And like, even though I think we are both going to end up predicting blowouts in terms of the score, I think Trevor still has a good chance to go over the completions, because like we've seen in the past couple of weeks, like even when it seems like the Jaguars are in like a run game script, they've continued to pass. So I like, even though like we were talking about how we think the running game could get back on track this week, like I also like why would they like stop letting Trevor cook all of a sudden? But then also like I think like the Bengals just like aren't really like the type of team to like lie over and die. Like I think they'll like, especially like with it being like a primetime game and like they like are really just like fighting for a chance at the playoffs. Like I think they'll like show up and compete, and so I think it'll be like, I certainly don't expect the Bengals to cover, but I think it will like still be close enough that like it's not like Trevor's going to be like pulled out of the game at any point. So over 20.5 completions for Trevor Lawrence. Give me the Ridley overs. Give me the Kirk overs because I like him on third downs.
What's the highest Ridley over you wouldn't take?
Maybe like six catches. He's at four right now, but getting seven catches would be a lot.
What's the highest yardage over you wouldn't take?
Yeah, I'm a lot more comfortable taking catches, yards props than catches, because he could have like three catches for 100 yards. Like he could put up a DK Metcalf stat line if he wanted to. I feel like he could. Yeah. So I would say like for this game, like I would take over 70. And right now his line is 56.5.
Okay. You ready for my lock of the week?
Yes.
Okay. Get your key. Get your chains. Get your padlock. Get your chastity belts. Get anything that locks. Lock of the week. Per Prize Picks. Luke Farrell over 5.5 receiving yards. That's right. That's right. Mrs. Farrell's baby boy made the props.
I'm writing down this one too.
That feels like free money, dude.
You
no? Over 5.5 yards?
I think you're right, but I saw this bet and I was scared off. I was like, there's no way I can like feasibly recommend to people to bet on Luke Farrell. And then not only are you doing it, but you're making it your lock of the week. That's incredible.
Can I make my case?
Yeah, go for it.
So Doug basically said on Monday, he's like, yeah, the reason Luke is getting more balls like thrown his direction is because we're doing more play action and rollouts, and naturally the tight end is a direct recipient, you know, of that. I'm pretty sure that was like pretty much all of his yardage last week. I know his big play was a play action. So since Trevor started feeling better, he has 7 targets and he has 5 catches for 76 yards in the last 2 weeks. They're moving Trevor around more and they're throwing him the ball more. He's going to hit that. With that said, there have been 7 of the 11 games this year. He hasn't hit 5.5 yards, but lock it in. Bet the mortgage. Bet your child's college fund. Take money from your grandmother. Do whatever you can to make money off this bet. Because I'm telling you, it's going to hit, Gus. It's going to hit, and I'm going to come find you in the press box when it does, and I'm going to put your head to the glass. I'm going to say, look at it.
I'm going to be asleep by then, probably. All right, that's a good one. That's a good one. My last pick is Trevor Lawrence's longest pass over 37.5 yards. And hot take, it'll come on a Ridley post-corner stop route where they've tried to hit on this route a couple of times this year. And I think they haven't actually connected Lawrence and Ridley, but it's where like Ridley comes from out of the slot and then like he pretends like he's running either usually a corner, but sometimes a post, but like he's like runs vertical and then pretends like he's running a corner. And then he runs like almost like a curl route off of the corner route and just like stops in his tracks so that the quarterback can like fit it right there between him, like underneath the safety over the top. So I think they're going to hit on that specific route type, and that's going to get Lawrence over 37.5 yards. That route's more of like an 18 yard depth kind of route, but I guess I'm predicting that Ridley will be able to catch it and then turn and run.
I like that. Here's a few others. I like Trevor Lawrence over under 11.5 rushing yards. I feel like with your point about the Bengals going to man coverage on third down so much, Trevor loves running against man coverage. I feel like he'll pop a scramble.
Yeah.
I like Zay Jones over 2.5 receptions, but under 29.5 yards.
Oh, my God. This is the craziest bet slip of all time.
What?
Your Luke Farrell's over. Your quarterback rushing over. It's crazy. I love it, but it's crazy.
I'm predicting like a 3-catch, 20-yard game from Zay Jones.
Yeah.
And then
over and under on the same player. I don't think I've ever heard of that. Who does that?
So I got one more for you, and I had this picked out before you said anything.
Okay.
Logan Cook under 3.5 punts. That's right. We're betting on the punter.
Yeah, that's good too. I like most of these. Logan Cook under 3.5 punts.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find that one? Was it on Prize Picks?
Oh, these are all Prize Picks.
These
are all Prize Picks.
That's so good. I like it.
I want somebody to make this. Okay, fine. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Yeah. Work.
Yeah. Fine. I'll be accountable. I'll put my money where my mouth is.
I'll do my job.
Yeah. Okay. My job is not to bet on Logan Cook punts. That's not my job.
It is now.
I'm not positive what my job is, but I know it's not that. So I'll go ahead, do that, and then I'll tweet the slip out after the game. We'll see how close I got.
Okay. I'm excited.
Okay. All right. You got to remind me which ones I picked.
Yeah. I've got to make sure I got these written down. While I write these down, what is your score prediction?
Okay. My score prediction is Jaguars 38. They just barely miss out on the 40 burger. Bengals 13. Which I believe was the score the last time the Jaguars played on Monday Night Football.
Oh, in 2011?
Yeah. Who did they didn't win that game, but nonetheless.
Who did they play?
The Chargers.
Oh. Did Philip carve them up?
It was what score did I say? Did I say 38-13?
Yeah.
Or 38-14?
You said 13.
Damn it.
You want me to change it? I got a little.
No. Okay, yeah, let's change it. 38-14. 38-14.
Okay, and then you have Luke Farrell over 5.5 catches. Correct. Over.
No. Over 5.5 yards.
Yeah.
That is very different. Yeah.
I would have caught that later, but you caught that. Okay, Luke Farrell over 5.5 receiving yards. Lawrence over 11.5 rushing yards.
That's right.
Zay Jones over 2 catches and under, what was the line, 30 yards?
It was over 2.5 catches and under 29.5 yards. That's right.
Wait, 2.5 catches and how many yards?
29.5.
Okay.
Tell me I'm wrong. 3 catches, 20 yards.
Okay, and then what was the last one? Logan Cook under
3.5 punts.
Yeah, what you should do is like the thing on Prize Picks where you can like select all 5 and then have like the multiplier effect and then see what happens.
That's rent money next month, baby.
I think I might. I don't know if I have any money in Prize Picks right now, but I might try to do that one with you. I think that's our three of the season so far.
I got a whole $3 in it. I haven't done very well this year.
My score prediction is 30-10.
30-10?
Keep it a little simple, but yeah, I think the last I saw the spread was 9.5. Or I think just 9. Definitely expect the Jags to win by double digit points. I do like Jacksonville first half spread, which don't know what it is off the top of my head. But if I had to guess, based on it being a 9-point line, then the first half line is probably like 6-ish. So I like first half Jaguars minus 6-ish as another pick, because I think. I think they've done a good job of like being able to get out to leads and kind of control games recently, and they shouldn't have any troubles with this one.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I really don't think this is like a game they should worry about, like for a number of reasons. Like the Bengals defense sucks, our quarterback stinks, they have the worst Taylor brother, but also like
nice.
I don't think this is a Jaguars like team that like undersells opponents enough to make it factor into them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they'll take the Bengals that lightly. It's because I think that's what Doug Peterson's instilled in them, which is, you know, not that, like, that's not, that doesn't go for every team. Like, that, like, the 2017 Jaguars absolutely, like, didn't, like, they lost to what, Blaine Gabbert in Arizona? Like, they absolutely underestimated teams. And I don't think this Jaguars team will do that.
I've got another hot take written down. D'Ernest Johnson will score the only touchdown of the second half.
Ooh. I picked him up in fantasy yesterday.
I'm about to. He's a.
I'm fine for my life.
Yeah. Are you going to play him with ETN? If ETN plays, are you going to lock him into the lineup regardless?
If ETN doesn't play, I might play him.
Yeah, but like since ETN or since they both play on Monday night, like, are you just going to be able to leave a spot open? Or do you have ETN in your league?
No.
Yeah, see, that makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'll do my actual job and figure out if he's going to play or not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, congrats on still being in fantasy this far into the year, because I think this is
why I am.
Oh, I had so many injuries. I'm not in anymore.
Yeah, I'm fine for my life, and I blame Aaron Rodgers' Achilles. Yeah, Garrett Wilson was supposed to be my league winner. I have Ja'Marr Chase,
yeah.
Garrett Wilson, I have Debo, I have Mahomes, and I had Mark Andrews, and I'm still. Wow. Like,
dang, that's bad. Yeah, I thought one of my hot takes before the year was, I don't know if I said it on the pod or not, but I wrote it down somewhere, was that Garrett Wilson was going to be offensive player of the year. So I was right. Yeah.
I think he would have been up there if Rodgers, you know, believed in modern medicine.
He would have led receivers in touchdowns, I think.
Yeah, he was due for a crazy year. So, yeah. All right, Gus. You got anything else for us, my friend?
I got three league-wide takes for you.
Ooh, okay.
I've been in the lab this week. I've been scheming and plotting a little bit. All right, so Micah Parsons went out of the way first since I teased it earlier. He will become the first defensive player to win MVP since Lawrence Taylor, and he'll do it next year.
Ooh, okay. Okay. We're doing 2024 hot takes now?
Huh?
We're doing 2024 hot takes now?
Well, it doesn't have to be 2024. The main thing is just that he's going to be the first defensive player to win MVP since Lawrence Taylor. But then I was like, I might as well throw in a year in there. So that
I agree with that. I think he's going to win one at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just want to be able to be like, when it happens, then when I come back and clip it, and then I happen to say 2024, if he happens to win it next year, then it'll just make it even sweeter. But yeah, I think he's going to win an MVP. He's so good. I don't even know what to say. Justin Fields will be traded to the Atlanta Falcons next year for a day two pick and lead Atlanta to its first playoff berth since 2017.
I think they're going to make the playoffs this year, but...
Oh, you're right, dude. I forgot. I was watching the game last night, and they had, like, the playoff picture. The Falcons have 5-6 leading the division. I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I still like it.
Okay, first playoff berth since 2017, but I think Justin Fields is a Falcon next year, and I think
he played a good balky ball from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good balky ball from them. Everybody wanted them to just pick Justin Fields that year, and now they can just get him for a sec, for like a non-top five pick. That's a good balky ball.
True. I think he'll be like how Kyler was like always in the MVP race after the first month of the season for a couple of years. I think that's gonna what's gonna happen with Justin is like the first month of next year.
Yeah.
MVP race. Final take. Marvin Harrison will be selected by the Cardinals, and their coach is going to win Coach of the Year next year for taking the Cardinals to the playoffs. After it's like Gannon or something, right? I want to say Rich Gannon, but that's an old quarterback.
No, say Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon.
Jonathan Gannon.
Jonathan Gannon, thank you. I was about to have to look it up. Yeah, Johnny G, he's going to win Coach of the Year next year. So I've got my MVP whip pick, my Coach of the Year pick, and my MVP through the first month of the season.
Well, this has been a good off-season podcast.
Well, I'm trying to come up with hot takes. You keep saying it's not spicy enough. I'm just trying to
Fair enough.
Mostly just Justin Fields will be a Falcon, and Marvin Harrison will be a Cardinal is like the main thing.
Fair enough. I like this. I like this. I think the Falcon take especially is a good one.
I'm like, if sportsbooks opened up, like, which team is Marvin Harrison going to get drafted by? Like, I'm ready to bet the mortgage on the Cardinals. That's my lock of the week, is that Marvin Harrison is getting drafted by the Cardinals.
They just keep rolling with Kyler?
I think so. I think, like, because, like, that's, like, what spurred, like, these takes is that, like, I was thinking about, like, the draft position and the draft order. Because, like, the Bears are going to be getting, like, the first overall pick. So, like, even if Justin Fields has, like, a pretty nice end of the season, like, at this point, I kind of feel like the Bears are just going to, like, take either Drake May or Caleb Williams first overall because they kind of have to. And then they're going to, like, get back whatever they can for Justin Fields. And then I think the Cardinals are sitting pretty at, like, 2 or 3 or wherever they're at because, like, they could get a quarterback, but why get a quarterback when you have Kyler Murray and you can give him Marvin Harrison?
That's a good point. I saw one take yesterday that was like the Bears should trade down from 1 and then take a quarterback. Just take the quarterback, dude. Yes. Just take the quarterback. All right. Gus, you got anything else for us, my friend?
No, I think we covered it all. Good episode.
All right. Well, This has been the Jaguar Report Podcast. Fans of Luke Farrell overs, John Shipley, my co-host Gus Logue. Don't forget to get Masterclass today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.